What is good? What is good? What is really, really good, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Sinful Black Entertainment presents the NFL preview episode of 8, NFC North edition. I am here joined by Hollywood J. Black right there. How you doing, sir?
Very good. You're almost there. You almost got that gumption. We'll see if we can get it by episode 8, because it is the NFL preview.
And like I said on the last episode, the NFL the season has a season. Today we're diving into the NFC North. We saw some teams take a step back from the 2018 season. We saw two teams who just dominate this division, it seems, every year now. But anyway, let's get started. We're going from the bottom to the top, like a Drake song, even though he garbage. Shot fired, motherfucker, shot fired. So we are going to start this episode with the Detroit Lions.
Yes, the team that we were absolutely right about them being trash.
It's because they don't want to give into the Patriot way. That is the whole issue in Detroit. They do not like Matt Patricia actually enforcing rules.
That's because the city of Detroit doesn't believe in enforcing rules. Okay, that's just how they roll. It's okay. It's okay. Sometimes rules don't work, and it's all right. We understand. However,
so, coming off of a 3-12 season, the only way they can go is up at this point, hopefully.
Are you sure?
No.
they can just stay right where they are. I mean, or they could pull the 0-16.
Let's play devil's advocate. Matt Stafford was injured most of the season last year, so they didn't even have their Pro Bowl quarterback.
True. They played some dude named John David something. I don't remember his name. So
his name was, drum roll please, David Blow.
Yeah, Blow, yes. I was thinking of John David Booty, because I was going to say he's trash, but, you know, whatever. Yeah, but David Blow, he blew all right. They didn't get much. It was funny because the rumors were like, oh, they're going to sign Colin Kaepernick. Oh, they're going to sign the McCown, because at least they'll have some experience. No, they signed David Blow. Okay.
So this 3-12, the Detroit Lions, they are a foul team. But with the COVID holdouts, we have Geronimo Allison, John Atkins, and Russell Bodine. I think John Atkins is the biggest name on that list to hold out due to COVID. But their defense. So let's go ahead and talk about their additions in this offseason. They signed Joshua Garrett from the 49ers.
Yeah.
They signed Halapuatavati Vatai. Jamie Collins, Nick Williams. They signed another backup quarterback, Chase Daniel, who won and played better than Mitchell Trubisky in Chicago last year. They signed Danny Shelton and Desmond Trufant. They signed J. Ron Kurth. They signed good. That's not work. They signed Tony McVay, Reggie Ragland, Elijah Lee, Geronimo Allison, who opted out. They're going to sign him up on March 29th, and he opts out on April 6th.
Oh, there.
And then they signed Daryl Roberts. So those are the signees. Obviously, the big names there. You got Jamie Collins. You got Danny Shelton. You have Heidi Ho. You got that guy. But basically, Jamie Collins and Danny Shelton, who both played for Matt Patricia when he was the defensive coordinator in New England, those are big signings for this Detroit Lions defense.
The sad part about this whole Detroit Lions team is that Matt Stafford was still their best player outside of Golden Tate. Well, no, they traded Golden Tate, didn't they?
They didn't even there no more.
Yeah, he was there 2 years ago.
Let me look and see who their wide receivers are.
It's the one dude. I know who. It's not Tate. It's the other dude.
All right, here you go. You ready for their wide receiver lineup?
Yeah.
Danny Amendola, Victor Bolden Jr., Quintez Cephas, Jeremy Davis, Kenny Golladay, Marvin Hall, Marvin Jones, and Tom Kennedy.
Golladay, that was the dude. Golladay was their best receiver last year. And he was the best receiver only because Matt Stafford gave him the ball when he could, anyway.
Well, that's what happens when you have no one else on your team except for Danny Amendola, who got knocked the fuck out like week three.
Yeah. This Detroit Lions team, unfortunately, is a victim of bad circumstance. They're perennially bad. And the coaching tree under Bill Belichick can't even save them. This is a team that eventually is going to need a complete overhaul, like a complete gut job. I'd say they should have got what they could from Matt Stafford 2 years ago when they brought in Patricia, because they knew they were going to slow Matt Stafford down. They could have traded Matt Stafford to Denver for a boatload of money.
Yes,
with cannons of an arm. Shit. I think if that would have happened, Denver would have been a lot better position than they are now. But the writing's on the wall for this Detroit franchise as a whole. At some point, they got to realize that they're bad. They're in a really tough division. And unless some drastic changes are made, are not going to get any better.
The drastic change will come through the draft.
It's going to take
question here. They added big names on defense with Shelton Collins.
Yeah. But let's take a look at the draft real quick so we can understand what they did and kind of break it down. All right,
so they did with the first round, they actually went, you know, this team has a habit of going wide receiver in the first round. They actually went defense with Jeff Okuda, who's a very good corner out of Ohio State.
Yeah.
Then they addressed the running back situation with the man who backed up Sony Michel 2 years ago, his freshman year, DeAndre Swift, who's a very good running back. Then you got Julian Okwala, Jonah Jackson, Logan Stenberg, Quintez Cephas, who opted out, Jason Huntley, John Panisi, and Jashawn Cordell. The first two draft picks are going to be hopefully their game changers to make this better.
Well, so the whole thing is, right, when you look at it as a whole, the Jeff Okuda was probably in DeAndre Swift. Those two big signings in and of itself, those make up for everything. And maybe Okwara is good. But that still doesn't cure the stink of what's already on the team as it is. Unfortunately, after Calvin Johnson left, it became one of those things where they were in limbo, which is sad because I like Detroit as a city. I think that they deserve a winning squad in football.
Shout out to John Whitby.
Yeah, shout out to John Whitby. Definitely shout out to – that's my man. But we're in a part – like, I feel that we talk about Detroit every year, and every time we've done this, four years in a row now.
This show's been 4 years in a row.
Yeah, and we haven't gotten any better. We haven't been able to solve the enigma that is Detroit. So
I think it comes back from ownership. I don't think Patricia is a bad coach.
No, that's not even it at all.
I think Patricia is unappreciated by the players.
It's not even a Patricia's problem. Like, Matt Patricia is not even the issue. It's an organizational thing. Like, I think if Caldwell had as an offensive coordinator and Patricia as a defensive coordinator would have came in and they would have allowed them to build something together and then put a coach that kind of manages the whole thing, like a Bill Belichick style coach that is not great at specific things but knows how to manage a whole entire football team.
Well, you're actually coming into the season the new offensive coordinator and the new defensive coordinator.
Yeah, but Patricia's still a defensive coach, and it's kind of like Bill Belichick, right? And so that's where I feel that, like, okay, I get that part where they have a new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, but Patricia still is going to have his hands in it. It's still going to be a Patricia-style team.
I forgot to add that they did add Devon Harmon from the New England Patriots.
Okay. And that's good. Bill Belichick, Bill Belichick is a type of coach that knows how to manage an entire football organization. Okay, Matt Patricia is not that person. Remember, they still have a GM. The Lions still have a GM. They still have office personnel. All that. There is no body that has full power over Detroit. And the other problem of this is that there's not really too many people out there that are really good GMs. All the really good GMs are taken up. And they're with the teams that they're with. The coaching trees are what they are. There's really nothing out there. So even if there was organizational change, I don't know who you would hand the keys over to. You see what I'm saying?
It's tough because you got a guy in Patricia who is literally a rocket scientist and literally one of the best defensive coordinators in NFL history.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what the problem is that they need to pair him with an offensive mind, that somebody that can think of shit with like Mike Martz does without trying to kill his players. You know what I'm saying? I think that's essentially what we need, right? And it's not there. And without bringing in somebody as a veteran and gutting the entire organization, I don't know how you solve that. And I really like Matt Patricia. I think he does some douchebag things, but overall, I think Matt Patricia is a good coach. Bill Belichick has done some douchebag things every once in a while, but that's part of being who you are as a coach.
And not how, Michael Butler. We're going to bench you for an entire Super Bowl, even though you're one of the best players on our defense.
Yeah, yeah. And essentially, and people could say that because of that, it could have cost him a Super Bowl. I don't know. I don't want to answer that question. But I do know.
I do, and it did.
Damn.
So, anyway, I have disrupted Hollywood J. Black's frame of thought there for a hot second. Let's go ahead and take a look at this 2020 schedule for the Detroit Lions. And I'm going to say, I think this is one of the best pictures I found on the schedule. You ready to check this shit out?
No, check it out. Let me see.
Bam.
Oh, look at that.
So here we got, home against Chicago, at Green Bay, at Arizona. People stop fucking calling me. Then they are home against the Saints, at Jacksonville, at Atlanta, home against the Colts, at Minnesota, home against the football team.
Home against the football team.
At the Panthers. At the Panthers, home against the Texans, at Chicago, home against Green Bay. No, actually, home against Green Bay at Tennessee. Then he finished off the season home against Tampa Bay and home against Minnesota.
So let me tell you where the fuckery begins. The first six games, two home, four away. That right there is a recipe for disaster. Because they got to come in. They face Chicago at home, which we don't know what Chicago team is going to show up and what Mitch Trubisky is going to show up. Green Bay is going to come in doing Aaron Rodgers things and playing good defense, and that's going to be Green Bay. The Cardinals are going to give them fits.
The Cardinals got better this offseason. They now have DeAndre Hopkins.
That's what I'm saying. They're going to give them fits. And then they got to – then New Orleans comes into town. And then Gardner Minshew, who Jaguars might end up being like 3-2 by the time this shit starts, you know, or 3-1 by the time this shit starts. Coming in, like, and Detroit has to go there to Florida. Then they got to go to Atlanta. They're going to be on the Southeast for two weeks straight. Then come back home against Indianapolis just to then travel to Minnesota.
For a team that was 3-12 last year, this schedule does them no favors.
Oh, no, not at all. You're facing – look, Chicago could have been a playoff team last year. So could have Green Bay. So, you know what I'm saying? No, Green Bay was. Cardinals were actually in the playoff race up until the end of the year. New Orleans is a playoff team. Jacksonville is
up and coming. Jacksonville had a bad season. That's because of coaching and shit like that.
Yeah. I mean, Atlanta started off shit and ended up hot. The Colts were on the cusp of a playoff. Minnesota was in the playoffs. You see how bad the first half of the season is fucked.
So I see their first win coming in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, week 9 against the Washington football team. But by week 9, the Washington football team might actually be doing okay.
Yeah, well, you hear that, shoot, Alex Smith is healthy. God bless that man. And who knows if depending on what Haskins does for the first part of the season. And then what they got, was it Nick Foles they got now?
Yeah. No.
No, Chicago.
They got Haskins, Alex Smith, and there's one other guy there. I can't remember who it is.
A big name, too, because they signed an offer. I got to take a look. But at either rate. We have week 9. It might not even be a guarantee. I say if we're really going to roll the dice, Carolina week 10.
But that's not even guaranteed because we have seen Christian McCaffrey beat teams by himself. Jesus Christ. We have witnessed that. So I'm looking at the schedule. I think they split the series with Chicago.
Yeah.
Honestly, I have to give them a 2-14, man, looking at the schedule. Unless they come out and their defense is solid like it can be, they are gonna have they could be on the cusp of another 0-15.
This is rough, man.
That's a rough fucking schedule they got.
I mean, if this was Jameis Winston's Bucks, I'd say that Jameis Winston would find a way to lose this game, but it's Tom Brady's Bucks.
Tom Brady's Bucks. Not only Tom Brady's Bucks, but Tom Brady's Bucks in December. Where Tom Brady does not lose football games too often.
Oh, Jesus. Man, who's the quarterback in Carolina?
Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, well, fuck.
So, you know what? I'm going to go 1-15 here. I think the only team they beat this year is squeaking by the Washington football team. During the season, I might adjust this, seeing on how they play. But right now, looking at this schedule, I do not have any faith at all that they can win more than one game on the schedule.
I will give you 2, and I say that's Washington and maybe Chicago at home to open the season because we're going to talk about Chicago next, and I'm going to get on their ass.
Well, the thing with Chicago is, too, they actually got Khalil Mack some help during the offseason, so he's not going to be triple-teamed every fucking play.
No, and I agree. I don't even think that's where the issue with Chicago is, but – Let's go ahead and get to him, and I'll tell you exactly my huge issues with Chicago.
All right, so I got 1-15. He's got 2-14 for the Detroit Lions, and until the Detroit Lions can show us that they can actually put together some winning football, they are not going to get no love from us.
No, not at all. Not at all. Jeez.
Speaking of, let's talk about this next team, whose quarterback took a severe step back, I would like to call it, last year. Yeah. we're going to go ahead and talk about the Chicago Bears. who somehow, some way ended up with an 8-8 record last year because of a man we talked about who got traded to the another team last year, you know, that we just talked about last week's episode. Case Keenum, who won them some games last year.
Yeah. It's weird because Case Keenum, he got traded in the middle of the season to the Bears, I think, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Some weird shit. But anyways, Trubisky wasn't bad. No, Chase Daniel, that's what it was. That's what Chase it was. Chase Daniel was the one that won him a few games while Trubisky was hurt, when in all actuality, he just sucked. Okay, yeah, that's just what it is. First things first, the Bears defense is the Bears defense. It is phenomenal. It is spectacular, and it has actually won them games that they should have lost last year. That continues to do so. The problem is when they lean too heavy on that defense, bad things happen, and they've lost a couple games because they couldn't get down the field to score touchdowns enough for it to matter. Reality is that the Bears should have been a playoff team last year. Actually, they should have won the division last year. They had the opportunity to towards week 13. Had they just finished out with a couple more wins, it would have been the Bears in the playoffs and the Vikings out of the playoffs. That didn't happen. And that has a lot to do with Mitch Trubisky needing to be a great quarterback. And essentially, I felt like his team threw him under the bus because I felt like they developed the defense to this powerhouse and not developed Mitch Trubisky into a great quarterback. They spent a lot of time working on this defense, constructing it, fixing it, doing what they need to do. And yet, somehow, some way, said, you know what? We don't need to fix Mitch's problems that were glaring when the playoffs hit last year. It's going to be fine. Don't you worry. Everything's going to be A-O-O. Shit, we're 8-8.
Because my kicker can actually make field goals sometimes.
Yes. I mean, blaming the kicker for what happened in the playoffs the year prior was stupid, okay? And you see what happened, that every time they tried to make a kicker do this, none of the kickers hit it. I think there was 20% of the time in the same exact conditions. So, like, I don't know. But the reality of the situation is they're trying to put in Nick Foles as a catalyst to make Mitch Trubisky better. At least that's what they're telling you. The reality is that they brought Nick Foles in as an insurance policy to where if Mitch Trubisky needs the curtain pulled back away from him, they have Nick Foles to take over at quarterback.
Well, I'm gonna say the ultimate reality for the Chicago Bears right now. Let me put my glasses on real quick. The ultimate reality is when you traded up to the number 3 pick a couple years ago, you should have went with Patrick Mahomes.
They could have went with Mahomes. They could have went with Watson. They could have went with who's the other dude? There's a third quarterback in there somewhere.
Jackson.
They could have went with Lamar Jackson. Hell, they could have went with McCaffrey. And they'd probably be in a better position. They could have drafted fucking John David Booty again. I don't fucking know what the fuck. David Blow or whatever the fuck his name is. And Christian McCaffrey would have been the running back. And he would have just absolutely been murdering people. But no, that's not what they wanted to fucking do.
I like to be segue. So my segue to that was, here's what the Bears did in the draft this year. They didn't have a pick till the second round where they picked the Cole Kmet, tight end, have Notre Dame. And they got Jalen Johnson, Travis Gibson, Kendall Vildor, Darnell Moody, Arlington Hambright, and Latavius Simmons, who doesn't even have a picture.
That nigga ain't even going to stay long enough for us to even take a picture of this nigga.
along with the signings of Devontae Bond, Deion Bush, Rashad Coward, J.P. Holtz, DeAndre Houston Carson, Isaiah Irving, Sherrick McManus, Roy Robertson Harris, Patrick Scales, Danny Trevathan, and Brett Urban. The only name on that list who I recognize is Danny Trevathan.
Yeah, he's back with the Bears after leaving for a couple years, which is, I thought that's impressive. That's an interesting take on that one. But the other side of this situation is this. They haven't addressed their wide receiver issue that they have. They have a huge glaring one. Because remember, 2 years ago when Mitch Trubisky was there, they had Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns. They basically had like four former old Jaguars wide receivers. And the same thing that happened last year that happened to Blake Bortles the year before. Once they got rid of his wide receivers, Trubisky, I mean, they kind of sucked. That's just is what it is. Same thing happened, though. With this one, Mitch Trubisky kind of sucked. I think it was regression has to do with a lot of lacking development. That's the first thing. That's the first thing we have to address. And the lack of consistency, giving that man targets that can catch footballs that he's familiar with and that can trust. They can trust. That seems to be a common theme amongst teams that have quarterback issues. In the first half of Tom Brady's career, who did he rely on? Troy Brown, right? And then the second half of that career, there's three halves of Tom Brady's career, okay? So there's the second half, which was the Wes Welker era, okay?
Which was Wes Welker, Randy Moss, and Wes Welker, 60th Super Bowl kryptonite. They blew a perfect season. Anyway. Yeah.
And then the third part of the season was Julian Edelman, okay? So that's what we're dealing with. That's the play that we have. We a quarterback needs a consistent receiver that he can trust, and Mitch Trubisky has had none.
The closest thing he's had is Allen Robinson.
Yeah, he's never. Yeah. Oh, and the running backs, Jordan Howard and what you call him, but they get rid of.
Remember last year they sent Jordan Howard to Philadelphia.
Yep, and then no consistency. That's a problem. That's a problem that starts with the coaching and the GM. You got to find somebody that man's familiar with and consistent with and can build a relationship. Because if you're not, it's going to be a slew of fucking bullshit.
So we saw how bad Detroit's schedule looked this season. So let's go ahead and take a look at the Chicago Bears schedule right quick. We have – let me give you some better eyes on this thing. We go. So we start off at home against Green Bay. Then we got the Broncos, the Washington football team, the Vikings, the Raiders. Hey, and
wait a minute. Time out. Wrong schedule.
Oh, that was last year. My shit. All right, so that's going to go away. I'm just going to read it off of this other thing I have. 1 second, please. Minor inconvenience.
It's okay. We still forgive you.
Whatever. Thank you for catching that, though.
Yeah, no, you know me. You know, I got to make sure. I'm a team player.
All right, so their schedule this year is this. All right, at Detroit, home against the Giants, at Atlanta, home against the Colts, home against Tampa Bay, at Carolina, at the Rams, home against the Saints, at the Titans, home against Minnesota, then their bye week. Then they come back to at Green Bay, home against Detroit, home against Houston, at Minnesota, at Jacksonville, and they finish off the season with the Green Bay Packers.
All right. I count Splitsville for the Lions game, because remember I said that the Lions were going to beat Chicago one of those games. So we'll count Splitsville as one of those. Okay. The Bears know how to play Green Bay tough, so I'll even say a split on that one. And then I'll even throw in a split for Minnesota. Past that, things are looking really, really bleak. That means I have to trust them to go against teams like Tennessee. What are the first seven games again?
Shit.
Look, I can pull it up. Don't give me a second.
I got it. I'm already there.
Okay.
Okay, so one more time. At Detroit, home against the Giants, at Atlanta, home against the Colts, home against Tampa Bay, at Carolina, and at the Rams.
Yeah, so I see the Bears are going to – I think the Bears are going to lose the first game against the Lions with the Lions at home. I think they could beat the Giants. I think – what's his name is not – when we get to the NFC East, that's going to be another conversation. But I think they'll lose to the Falcons, so they'll be 1-2 by that point. I think they'll beat the Colts at home. I don't think they'll beat the Bucks. So it'll be 2-3 at that point. I don't think they'll beat the Panthers. Oh, Jesus Christ. I don't think – well, the Rams are a little bit of a different monster. I think they can slow them down, maybe eke out a win on the road in L.A. They're not going to beat the Saints at home. Not going to beat the Titans on the road. They'll beat the Vikings at home. I think I can see that. I think they'll beat the Jags, and then they'll beat the Packers at home because they like to split the series. Splitsville. So 7-9.
You have a lot more. You have a lot more faith in them than I do.
7-9. 7-9.
I'm looking at 5-11. And unless, see, because my whole issue is this: we don't know what we're getting with Mitchell Trubisky.
True.
Wide receiver core is Ted Ginn Jr., Cordell Patterson, and again, Allen.
Robinson.
Yeah, that guy. He's always hurt, so. But you have two primarily special teams wide receivers as two of your top three receiving core. That's an issue.
Well, here's the reality, though, okay? So now, as you alluded to, one of the add-ons, because, of course, you know they got Robert Quinn on the team now, and is going to actually play a full season this time around. Teddy Ginn Jr., who's going to have to play a whole season this time around.
You can't really say that because over their careers, they have both been made of grass.
True, but they actually got deeper in a few other – they got deeper at receiver. I think they'll rotate it to where it's going to be a okay. They also got Jimmy Graham, who's always hurt, but they got deeper at tight end. They got like three or more tight ends behind them. So if Jimmy Graham doesn't get hurt, they got three tight ends behind them. It'll be fine.
You said you're going 7-9?
7-9.
All right, I'm going 5-11.
I put an asterisk on my 7-9. And I want because if Nick Foles comes in, he just might be able to get them to the playoffs.
Well, I have the same issue with Nick Foles that I have with some other quarterbacks in this league, in the fact that Nick Foles can only be healthy on the Eagles. Every other team he goes to, he gets injured.
True. But Mitch Trubisky, the one thing I liked about Mitch Trubisky is that they never got a chance to sack him. He wasn't harassed. He actually was protected really well, which is why
because he can run, which Nick Foles cannot do.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, Nick Foles has an arm.
All right, so we're gonna move on here to the team that everybody says Kirk Cousins robbed. But when it actually came down to it last year, Kirk Cousins made the plays that he needed to play, he needed to make to push them past the Saints, not once, but twice in a season.
True.
As the Saints were the favorites going into the playoffs last year.
But I wouldn't have been the Saints having to play the 49ers in that next game. That's probably would have been a bad idea for Drew Brees. The Minnesota Vikings midway through the season realized that Dalvin Cook was actually a fairly good running back.
Dalvin Cook is a fucking monster.
And so once they realized that, they're like, you know what would be a good idea? Running the football.
Well, one thing we're going to learn this year is if – what the hell is his name? the wide receiver, the white kid.
Oh, you're talking about Thielen.
Yeah, we're going to see if Adam Thielen can put up the numbers that he put up without Stephon Diggs, because Stephon Diggs got traded to Buffalo, which, yeah. Yeah, without Stephon Diggs, we got to see what Adam Thielen, another Juju Smith-Schuster who just falls by the wayside of average wide receivers because he doesn't have a big play home run hitter on the opposite side of the field of him, or is he a big play home run hitter in himself?
Thielen is a better version of Julian Edelman. He has reliable hands. He can, but the difference is he can run a streak route like it's nobody's business. And he's very shifty. I think Thielen's ready for the big time. I just hope they put somebody next to him that's going to be able to shine, at least take away some of the pressure off of him.
Well, their wide receiving core right now as we speak is they have Chad Beebe, Courtney Davis, Alexander Hollins, Justin Jefferson, Bicey Johnson, Dylan Mitchell, KJ Osborne, Tajay Sharp, and Adam Thielen. Nothing there stands out as being anything good.
Well, remember, Stephon Diggs didn't come out of college being this impressive receiver.
Oh, I know.
So this offense is going to make or break him. But Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook are going to have to do what they need to do in order to make this happen.
So we're going to take a look. We'll take a look at their draft picks real quick. For some reason, this picture won't let me make it bigger, but I will go ahead and read off their.
God damn, that's a lot of fucking draft picks.
Yeah, they had a ton. So starting from the top, we got Justin Jefferson, wide receiver at Louisiana State, who is actually not bad. Then they got Jeff Gladney, Ezra Cleveland, Cameron Dantzler, EJ Willem, James Lynch, Troy Dye, Harrison Hand, KJ Osborne, Blake Brendel, Josh Metellus, Kenny Willekes, Nate Stanley, Brian Cole II, and Kyle Hinton. And the weird thing is about this, you see all those draft picks there? They traded 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 other draft picks to other teams.
Damn. They got a bunch of 2-for-1s, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. So, and also, let's talk about the signed players that they signed over this offseason. DeMarcus Gates from the Houston Roughnecks XFL team. He was the first XFL player. He gets signed to the NFL. Then we also had we also got Michael Pierce, who was with the Ravens. Then Tajay Sharp, who was with the Titans last season. Mm-hmm. And Anthony Zettel, who you know very well as being part of that 49ers defense last year. Mm-hmm. And as far as COVID holdouts, the only COVID holdout they have is defensive lineman Michael Pierce.
What, he won the draft? No, he won the draft. Okay. Mm-hmm. Hold on, these nachos are so fucking good.
So, even though we're recording, James still likes to eat on the fucking podcast.
I'm hungry. I'm fat. Leave me alone.
Oh, stop it.
No, but real though, let's talk about it. So, essentially, the Vikings drafted essentially half of a defense and half of an offense in the draft.
What they did, they drafted Philip Rivers' kid.
Essentially. And then to get those draft picks, they traded other draft picks for 2-for-1s. Apparently, they must have traded with the Texans because it sounds like a Bill O'Brien. You can have my first 7 draft picks for your 2037 NFL first round draft pick. Okay, that buddy.
That waterboard right there. Really like the coverage here.
How about we trade you these 4 draft picks for the old roof off the Minnesota Dome? How's that? Does that work?
The one that caved in the snowstorm?
Yes, that's right. I want a souvenir. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill O'Brien jokes will never get old on this show.
Oh, hell no. So let's go ahead and take a look at the Minnesota Vikings schedule here. So far, both teams in the NFC North have had monstrous schedules, which, yeah. So this one, it actually says 2020 on it, so I got the right one. So they got the Packers, the Colts, the Titans, the Texans, the Seahawks, the Falcons, then their bye week. Then you got the Packers, Lions, Bears, Cowboys, Panthers, Jaguars, Buccaneers, Bears, Saints, and Lions. This schedule isn't as bad as the Lions and the Bears schedules.
No, not at all. Not when you're in the position that the Minnesota Vikings are in. So the Green Bay split, like I said, the Chicago split, they'll beat Minnesota twice. I mean, they'll beat Detroit twice. So that's 4-2.
You see, week 13, that could be the game that says their playoff potential when they're at Tampa Bay.
Yeah. So that's going to be a tough one. What was I going to say?
So I think win. Madeline had a defense plays. Win at Seattle is going to be tough early season because of the 12th man.
But I think they'll beat it.
But we also got to remember there might not be any fans in the stadiums.
True. I think they'll beat the Falcons in the bye week. They got to go to Green Bay, and that's the one they're going to lose. I think they'll beat Green Bay the first game and then lose the second game.
Then it looks like the Lions is a win, the Bears is a win. The Cowboys at home is, I'm going to call that a win. I think a win against Carolina, a win against Jacksonville. Then it falls on that Tampa Bay game, which, depending on how Gronk and Brady are with that Buccaneers team, that's going to really depend on how that one goes.
And Tampa is going to still be nice and warm here. So I say they'll lose the first Chicago game, win the second one because they'll be at home. I think Chicago's still going to be tough to play in the cold at Soldier Field. I think.
And then I'm going to piss off every Saints fan, but the Saints cannot beat the Minnesota Vikings no matter who their quarterback is.
Yeah.
So I got the Vikings over. I'm going with the Vikings. I'm going with the 12-4 record.
Let me see. So I did 4-2 already. So we did the split. I think they'll beat the Colts. That's 5. Oddly enough, when we get to the South, I think the Colts actually regressed going with Phillip Rivers than rolling with Jacoby Brissett.
And that's we'll talk about that. He lasts the whole season as a starting quarterback there.
Tennessee's going to be the tough one. That's going to be a tough one. Texans, I got to see. Houston at Houston. I don't think the Minnesota can come into Houston and beat them. I don't know about that one. Same thing with Seattle. The only the home games, the away games, I think that they could take, are the Viking. The Lions one for sure. The Saints one, and I think those are the two on the road that I know that they can come in, and maybe Houston. So Houston, the Lions, and the Saints.
So it sounds to me you're leaning towards maybe 11-5.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think that's what it is, 11-5.
Which could win this division.
Oh, yeah. Considering what we got to talk about, when we talk about...
We got to talk about the false greatest of all time. anybody who's followed us over the years, you guys know that we don't think Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback of all time.
And apparently neither does the coach of the Packers, because they drafted a quarterback in the first round.
So we might as well go ahead and get the shocking about the asses. We are now talking about the 2019 surprise 13-3 record, Green Bay Packers. This team, every season, you really don't know what they're going to do going into a season. So predicting what their final record is before the season even starts is a little risque.
Yes. I couldn't even tell you last year how they went 13-3. I just know that they won games.
they just beat people. That's what they did. So as far as the COVID list, the Green Bay Packers, oh, this is a big one. The only player that opted out due to COVID is Devin Funchess, Aaron Rodgers' favorite target last year.
Yeah, Funchess is
That's a big holdout for the Packers.
Well, because what's his name? The other dude was hurt. Adams. Adams was hurt.
Devontae Adams hurt. He's still hurt, isn't he?
I don't know. I think he's fully healthy now. Maybe.
But so this team went 13-3 last year. We cannot explain how, because we actually thought they were going to be third in this division last year.
Yeah.
And it's funny because their weaknesses were glaring when they played the team in the 49ers. They just saw how weak the Green Bay Packers were.
Well, they beat, you see, the Niners beat them twice. You know what I'm saying?
My blowouts. Mm-hmm. In one of those games, Jimmy Garoppolo literally threw the ball five times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we know that their big, obvious, glaring weakness is the run, but seemingly, outside of Minnesota, they didn't play any good running teams. I think that's kind of what it was. Outside of Minnesota and San Francisco, they didn't play any really good running teams. So I still don't know how. I think that's what it is. Nobody could exploit their weakness because nobody was outside of those two teams. Nobody was really good at the run, like really, really good.
As far as Aaron Rodgers goes, he just flings the ball downfield, and there's usually somebody there to catch it.
Yeah, yeah.
That is Aaron Rodgers' game.
Although his touchdown to interception ratio, it was what, 25-5 or some shit like that, I want to say, or 28-5. He only threw five interceptions last year, which was his lowest total ever.
In quite a while, yes.
Yeah, he threw over 3,500 yards. I think he almost threw 4,000. And so. that's like an air year for Aaron Rodgers, right? I still couldn't even tell you how they won their football games last year. Like, they just came in and they won. Like, it was boring. Like, it was.
You gotta remember, their defense was vastly improved last year.
Yeah, their passing defense, yes.
And that's actually what ultimately won them games, was them being able to outscore and slow down whatever offense was opposite them, as long as that offense did not have a running game.
Yeah.
So undrafted, you know, Aaron Rodgers sitting there in front of his TV. All right, give me that game-changing wide receiver. Give me that game-changing wide receiver. Give me that game-changing wide receiver. And what did the Packers go and do with the first-round pick? They gave us a quarterback. I think he got to Jordan Love out of Utah State.
It's like, oh, we got a wide. Oh.
And Aaron Rodgers was not happy.
He said, WTF, what? What the fuck? WTF?
This man actually went on public interviews talking about, I don't think this team believes in me anymore. I might not be here after this season. Yada, 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 boo-hoo, fucking climbing. And this is supposed to be your greatest quarterback of all time? Brett Favre, better.
Brett Favre never bitched, whined, and moaned until he left. Oh.
And then he put a stick out on an email to a lady, and then he got murdered by the Saints in Bounty Gate.
Who's never pulled their dick out on a female? I haven't. I've never done that before.
All right. So anyway, their draft picks with Jordan Love, as you said, A.J. Dillon, a running back, Joshua DeCara, a tight end, Kamal Martin, a linebacker, John Runyon, offensive lineman.
The son of the great John Runyon. You gotta say that with chutzpah. The son of the great John Runyon.
I'm saving my hood spot as something that I'm going to bring up after I read the rest of these draft picks.
Oh, okay.
Center, Jay Canson. Guard, Simon Stepaniak. Safety, Vernon Stock. And defensive lineman, Jonathan Garvin. So, as far as the Spunya you wanted me to show, what I'm going to say is, what did not you see on that list? A wide fucking receiver. The one thing Aaron Rodgers needs is they did not even draft one. Let's see, they went and signed. Okay, here we go. So they signed Ryan Bulaga. They signed Blake Martinez. Geronimo Allison is... Oh, wait, nope, they lost it. Never mind. They signed Mason Crosby, who was already there. Mercedes Lewis, who hasn't had a good season in years. Will Redmond, Tyler Irvin.
Last year, he had a really great season. They re-signed him. He was on the Packers last year.
Oh, here's a, okay. Here's their additions: Rick Wagner, Christian Kirksey, Jamal Davis, Gerald Willis, Trayvon Hester, John Lovett, Malik Turner, and Travis Fulgham. There's two wide receivers on there, and they're not really. Yeah.
So they didn't draft one for wide receiver. They got a bunch of scrub free agents. What are do they believe in Devin Funchess and Davante Adams? So much of the arm injured both of them.
Hey, I was wrong. Funchess was on the Colts last year. So Funchess got traded to Green Bay and then opted out for COVID.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, then, how fun.
Because their wide receiver core going into this season, we're looking at Davante Adams, of course, he's the Pro Bowler. Then from that, we have Reggie Bagleton, Travis Fulgham, Jake Camaro, Alan Lazard, Darius Shepard, Equanimee St. Brown, Darrell Stewart, Malik Taylor, Malik Turner, and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. So I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be on a new team in 2021.
Chicago.
My man said, you know what? Fuck this shit. I'm going to a rival.
Think about it. You know they can let go of Aaron Rodgers next year and not have to pay him a dime.
Oh, I get that. But do you think Aaron Rodgers – oh, I'm not even going to ask this question because I already know the answer. You know what the question I was going to ask is? What? Do you think Aaron Rodgers is that shallow to go to a division rival? And then I remembered that his ex-girlfriend, Danica Patrick, can down a beer better than he can. So, yes, I think he is not man enough. I think he is man enough to go to a division rival.
This man cut off his family. You're going to ask if he's petty? God says, honor thy mother and their father. Aaron Rodgers said, fuck that and fuck you.
Aaron Rodgers is a stat quarterback. He is a lot like Derek Carr. If he thinks the ball is too risky to throw for an interception, he's just not going to throw it.
I mean, true. I mean, that's why. I mean, that's why he only threw 5 interceptions last year. He converted into a different type of quarterback, but I think it was self-preservation. I mean, how many collarbones are you going to break over a career? How many collarbones do you have? I thought you only have one collarbone. And you know what I'm saying? Like, you just keep consistently breaking that motherfucker. Also popping your shoulder out. And it's like, there's only so many times you can do that before you say, you know what? I'm going to turn into Tony Romo. Okay? There's only so many times.
Yeah. But here's the problem. Aaron Rodgers also broke his leg twice. So let's go ahead and look at the schedule that Packers are presenting this year. Ba-da-ow. So we have the Vikings, Lions, Saints, Falcons. We get the Brady Rodgers matchup of week 6. Buccaneers, Titans, Vikings, 49ers, Jaguars, Colts, Bears, Eagles, Lions, Panthers, Titans, Bears.
So I, you know what? I see a problem. I see week 6, 7, 8, and 9 are fucked. Actually, no, let me rephrase that. Week 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 are fucked because they have a bye week in week 4. And then it's on to fuck city right after that. Because don't make mistakes.
I don't think Atlanta's a bye week. Remember, Todd Gurley's actually healthy.
No, did you not see him limping in practice yesterday?
Oh, no, I did not.
Yeah, exactly. So, fuck.
And how did we call that? That Todd Gurley wasn't going to last 3 more years. Remember that one you got mad at us for saying
that? Yeah. Yeah, I said it. I said Todd Gurley.
Arthritis in both of his knees.
Yeah, I said Todd Gurley. I said the Saints. The Rams' offense relies on Todd Gurley. Without Todd Gurley, it's a wrap. And Todd Gurley's not going to last until the end of the year. Sorry. That's what it is and exactly what happened.
All right, so I'm looking at the schedule. Week one, I think loss, win, loss, win, loss, 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 win, 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 loss to the Eagles, win against the Lions. Since they can't stop running backs, they're going to lose against Carolina. They'll lose against Tennessee. I'm going 8-8.
Let me see. Let's see. The home games are in yellow, right?
Yes.
Okay, so they'll beat the Vikings. They'll beat the Vikings they'll lose to the Vikings on the road. Beat the Lions. Lose to the Saints. No, they'll beat the Saints, right? No, I don't think so. They'll lose to the Saints. That's a good shootout. What a way to end Aaron Rodgers' career, going against Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Deshaun Watson, just all in one set of 4 weeks.
Not only that, going against Drew Brees, who now has Emmanuel Sanders, going against Matt Ryan, who has Julio Jones, going against Tom Brady, who has Gronk back, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, O.J. Howard, and that fucking lineup they have over there in Tampa. Then you got San Francisco, who you can't stop when Jimmy Garoppolo only throws the ball 5 times in a game. Then you got to play the fucking Eagles, who Carson Wentz, at this point in time, should be having a good season.
Yeah.
Then you got the Panthers with Christian McCaffrey and Teddy Bridgewater. Then you got the Titans with fucking Ryan Fitzpatrick and Derrick Henry.
Okay, so loss, win, loss, win, loss, loss, win, loss. Win.
Five losses in the first
win. Time. Yeah, win, 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 probably. Win, win, loss, loss.
But sounds like you're going 9-7?
Yep, 9-7. Book it, Dano.
So we both have the Vikings winning this year.
Yep. Not by much.
So the NFC North is an interesting division because you truly do not know what team could win. Hell, Detroit could put it all together this year and win this division. You don't.
Oh, exactly.
They are so brutal with each other when they play. The NFC North is the most brutal division in the NFL.
It is.
When it comes to rivalry.
It is. The thing is, while the Lions are the weak link, do not count out some kind of midseason revival if somehow Stafford returns to form. I doubt it. But if Stafford somehow channels something, he might pull off a couple upsets. Again, I doubt it.
You also got to think about something, too. Over the last 2 seasons, the Detroit Lions have brought in 14 former New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Change that atmosphere in the locker room.
Yeah. Something needs to change. Like I said, you never know. The other side of that is the Bears are still, we said, an 8-8 team, right? We kind of agree 7-9, 8-8. Around there.
Bears, I have a 5-11. You had a 7-9.
7-9. The Bears could, remember, said that the Bears could pull off some an upset in Lambeau. The Bears could pull off some upset somewhere else. Who knows? But the overall situation for Green Bay is that the writing's on the wall for Aaron Rodgers, especially when you draft a quarterback in the first round.
You draft a quarterback in the first round, and then he goes out of his way to talk shit.
Oh, yeah. Then we already know how the organization feels about him. how he feels about the organization. And he's basically going to be playing for his next contract.
Which might not be that much due to the fact that Patrick Mahomes is 10 years younger and just signed a $100+ million contract.
Yeah, but you know what would Aaron Rodgers take to be able to stick it to the Green Bay Packers two times a year in Chicago?
I don't know. But anyway, while he's munching on that nacho, if you're watching this on YouTube, please like and subscribe. Also, ring that bell so you know when the rest of the episodes come out. If you're on Facebook, please like and comment and share the videos so you can tell your homies these two crazy motherfuckers are talking mad shit about your team.
And if you're listening to us on Anchor or any place where you can listen to podcasts, make sure you follow, download some of our old episodes so you can see us talk shit and act crazy. This is what we do every week because we love y'all. Somewhat. Debatable. But, you know, whatever. It's cool. It's cool. It's cool. We got love.
I, for one, have issues with commitment, so I can't say I love you. But I like you guys. I like you guys.
Like you enough to come here every season and talk shit about your team. That's how much we love you all.
To be honest with you, the Sinful Black people who watch this shit are the ones who watch it all the time. We love absolutely those who are just getting to know us now. And the fan base on YouTube is growing due to the reactions. We're getting some good reviews on those. But this is the Sinful Black Entertainment, and this is what we're going to do for you guys. We are here to entertain, get some shit off our brain, and just have some fun.
That's right. So
go ahead.
Oh, so until next time, that is my man Big Sin. I'm Hollywood J. Black. And this is the Overtime Sports Show NFL Preview. Next time, we're going to see you in the South. But until then, we out this bitch. Deuces.